Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Well, first of all, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've been doing a month without Stoptober or if you've been doing no alcohol, it's Sober October. If you've been doing no other things, we've been doing a week without varying things. And some of us have done a week without. Has anyone else this month done a week without? We haven't actually heard from Joan how her week without coffee went. And Anita's next to her. So that's on. The salmon's not there, but I think it'll work. How did your week without coffee go?
It was interesting. Had a few headaches.
How did everyone else find it?
You have to ask them. I'm sure I was wonderful, but I could have been a bit grumpy.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, it was interesting.
And how was that first cup of coffee back afterwards?
Wonderful. But I haven't had as many. It's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I'm restricting myself to 2 a day.
Okay, you're on a ration.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
Water tastes good.
Good. Did you say you did something you need?
Yeah. I went a week without any heat in the house.
Ooh.
No.
Hardcore.
I was at work and I overheard a conversation where someone was saying, oh, I'm making do, not putting it on, putting any heat on yet. And she says, oh, you know, with the child, it's just time to put a cardigan on if they're cold.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking that, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who cannot put the heat on.
Yeah. Yeah, good job. Excellent. So we've been doing that over October, trying to, you know, associate with those who've got less than we have to make ourselves understand their situation, because, you know, that's part of this journey we're on, is understanding people, understanding there are different perspectives, understanding that there are different ways of doing things. How many of you, when you came here today, took the same route you always take to get here today? How many of you took a different route, just fancy driving somewhere different? Look at that. Or did you get lost? Oh, okay. The row between Nailsy and Backwell is shut. Oh. Only until tomorrow. How was it? Was it disturbing? Yeah. Okay. That's good. It's a good exercise in what we're doing, because I thought, what about Newvember? Do you see what I've done there? You see what I've done there? I put new in front of November. Newvember. So we've had Stoptober, and now we're doing Newvember. Because we'll very easily fall into a pattern. I mean, you might not have seen this one, my jumper, and you might be thinking, I'm glad I haven't seen that jumper, because, you know, I know Scotty's finding more jealousy now because he's thinking, I'd like that one as well, you know? But, but you know, sometimes we've got wardrobes full of clothes, but we wear the same things. Some of us know almost certainty of what we're going to be wearing, and if you see someone, don't worry about it, Sienna, she'll be fine. So doing something new, why would we do that? Well, let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 to begin with. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So we are new people. We are new creations. Now, notice there in the New Living Translation, it says the old has gone, the new has begun. In most translations, it says, what does this one say? The new has come. So it's about something arriving, the potential of something being there. It's not a done deal. It's not, I'm a new creation, that's it. I'm completely sorted out. I've got everything underway. It's all working perfectly. And if you do think that, then maybe ask someone else how that's going for them. Because I can tell you that we're not finished work yet. But the potential for new is there. We've been created so that there is, and that word new, in Revelation 21, the God says, behold, I'm making all things new. He says his mercies are new every morning. The seasons that we're seeing, it's great to see autumn, but you know there's going to be new life. If you'd never seen autumn, you'd think, this is a disaster. The whole world is dying. Well, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, it's all going to pot. But God makes things new. He's designed things to be new. And that word new in the Greek means fresh. New in innovation. Unused. Novel. I love those terms. Are we becoming more uniquely different and fresh? It's not just, well, we're getting back to a state that we were in. It's God has got something new and something fresh for us and to create in us. But sometimes that's hard to do because we're resistant to change for some reason. We're resistant to going a different way or sitting in a different chair. I'm looking around because this is kind of where you sit. Oh, how well done. Well done, Sarah. But you know what I mean? I'm the same. You know, I sit on that side. I used to sit on this side. The reason being, because this was the noisy side. And so I wanted to make sure that the people who may go through their mind to tut would see that I was sitting over here and it's okay. If he's over here, it's going to be okay. Now, some of you took the other decision and said, well, I'm going to sit on this side because that's the noisy side. Some of you are at the back because you think, well, you know, or you might have arrived late. Some of you, you know, I don't particularly like sitting on the front row, but it's kind of like what we have to do, isn't it? You know, it's kind of, that's where you're expected to be. And it helps people figure out who you are in the church. You know, oh, they're on the front row. You know, they must be important. Or something like that. No, maybe you don't think that, which is good. But, you know, it's very easy for us to fall into ruts. But this scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Let's go to another scripture. This is Romans 8. And these are familiar scriptures, but put together, they start to give you a kind of pattern of what God is trying to do. Because, let's read Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. And know that in all things God works for good, for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. That we are being conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now, called, justified, glorified is a process. And we are in a process of being changed from one degree of glory to another into the likeness of Jesus. So that he can be one brother of many brothers. Now, some people say, well, I get that a little bit, but what about me? What about the unique me? Well, God loves that unique you. He sung over us this morning about how special you are. So why would it be that if you are also simultaneously being conformed into the likeness of Jesus, that you would lose the personality of who you are? I mean, I sometimes try to lose my personality because it gets me into trouble and it gets me misunderstood, you know? Well, yeah, but it does. Well, it is. It is, but what I'm saying is, you know, some of us fear that if we start doing all of this stuff, we'll just become boring religious people who do everything right and never have any fun. Well, I have lots of fun, but I can still, and I think Jesus had the most enjoyable life, and yet, so if I'm conformed into his likeness, Conformed means sharing the inner essence and identity. That's what that word means. When we're being conformed, we share the inner essence and identity of Jesus. So the very nature of who he is working on the inside of us, having the same essential nature as Jesus. Which means that I, in having the same essential nature of Jesus, I'm going to do it uniquely my way, but his way. You know, Jesus did that. Because to be honest, we don't know what Jesus was really like, because he said, you've only seen the Father flowing through me. He said, I only speak the Father's words. So Jesus has done it already. It is the Father in me who you've seen. So when he's decided that that's the way it works, that within us is Jesus and he's working out of us internally. Now, some of us have got a very little Jesus in us. Now, that might be theologically not right, but the amount of us that has been taken up by Jesus is so small that no one knows he's in there. And you can say, well, I'm a Christian. Great. But how much of Christ's inner essence and identity is leaking out of you? None at all. Or very little. Or occasionally when you get together and get excited. But God is wanting to do something new. He's wanting that to grow. So some of this stopping what we're doing and starting other things is to feed the inner man and is to start to build on that foundation. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. This says, and some of these, you know, are a little bit not out of context, but you can read around them if you want to. Verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, which is good. So God is leading you into freedom. So when you, where everything that I'm talking about here will lead you into freedom. The thing that Sue just said about Susie, if I'd known that it would have all worked out, I wouldn't have worried about it. That is God saying, I want you to know me so much you don't worry about it. I want you to know how much I love you that you couldn't possibly think the wrong thing about me. Because that will give you freedom to live confidently and generously and extravagantly and like I do on this earth. So verse 17 says, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. The glory is not some brightness or, I mean, the glory of God is that. It can be manifest in that. But that, again, that word glory is the absolute essence of who someone is. John's glory is who he is. It's who God made him. It's if you know the essence of who he is, you understand his glory. God's glory is the essence of who he is. So if we are reflecting God's glory, we are taking on the absolute essence of who he is. And as we do that, it says here, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as we worship here today and as we look towards God and as we focus on him and we say, God, do something in me, that essence of who he is transforms us. The word metamorphosis, changed form, changing form in keeping with inner reality. So our form and who we are and what we do is changing in keeping with what's happening inside. If you're doing nothing different than you were 10 years ago, I would say nothing has changed inside you. And you can say, oof, oh, not sure about that. But if there is something different in you, if you think differently, and if you're being transformed differently, by default, your outward activity will be different. Because it just has to be. It just has to be different. Many of you asked how Tanya is. Tanya's in Australia, if you don't know. She's there for her sister's wedding. And, you know, some of you will know that she stood up here and said, things have really changed. And, you know, it's been going back from her mum's funeral and illness, you know, was a real breakthrough moment for the family. So you think, well, that's it. It's done, isn't it? It's a real breakthrough moment for the family. Wonderful. And, yeah, as she went back to go and see her sister, there's a nervousness. Was that just a blip? The enemy starts saying, yeah, that's okay, that was because of this, this, and this, but this time it's going to go back to what it was. And so, you know, we had to talk and pray, and, you know, it wasn't big, and Ella had some wise words for her. Ella had some very wise words for her and said, you know, you've just got to look at what the evidence is that has happened so far. They want you there. They've invited you there. And yes, it was new. It was different. And then Tanya's been there, and she's had a good time. The wedding was yesterday. One of the things she did, her sister, she said, I'm here just to serve. I'm here just to give. And she heard that her sister would really like to arrive in a Mack truck. This gives you some idea of Tanya's, the difference between Tanya and her sister. She wanted to arrive at a wedding in a vintage Mack truck. Now, her friend had one down the road, and but she knew it was a working truck, and it was, you know, so she hadn't asked her. So Tanya said, I can do that. I can make that happen. And so she asked her and said, yeah, and it was a surprise. And this Robin said, oh, I'd love to do that. That'd be great. Yellow Mack truck. She said, I can't take the wood or the timber off the back that I've got. No, great. We want the timber on. But they'd already arranged that she was going to arrive in a police car. You'd think the Australians aren't different, you know. But here are two examples, okay? So, because her, one of the family is a policeman. So anyway, we got it all sorted out. So police escort, so bridesmaids and, father of the bride and bride are in the Mack truck. Bridesmaids and brother-in-law are in the police car with the sirens full on. You know, that's how they arrive. I don't know, it's slightly diverging. But I know that something in Tanya has changed. And because something in her inner reality has changed, she is able to behave in a different way. And as she behaves in a different way towards her family, they react in a different way towards her, in which case it's a positive upward circle. But it starts with a change of mind and a change of heart and a change within that says, I'm going to do something different. For a different reason, because God has done something in me, which means that I no longer need others to give me what I require. And this is one of the issues that we live with. We are expecting others to be the answer to what we need. Oh, you know, no one did compliment Tanya on her dress. That's usually my role. But, you know, and we do need each other, but I'm not dismissing that. But when we become so needing other people that their inability to give us what we need makes us feel differently, we are then in trouble. And I don't see that Jesus, the essence of who Jesus is, needed that. Jesus said he didn't entrust himself to any man. Now, that didn't mean he didn't relate. But what he said is, I'm not going to let your behavior affect my day. I'm not going to make what your input into my life cause me to lose my peace or become angry or lose the fruit of the Spirit that was at work in his life. So we are being changed in form in keeping with inner realities. Yeah, I don't think I've got this scripture, but in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. The bit that I'm growing on the inside of me is the eternal bit, is the bit that's going to be there. When I get to heaven, I want to be the same kind of person that I want to just, I don't want to arrive as a little Jesus. You know what I'm trying to say? Completely underdeveloped. What have I been doing all my life? I want to feed and grow the part of me that has eternal value. And so, yes, it's a matter of perspective. We love seeing the story, or reading the story about David, the shepherd boy. Oh, it was wonderful, you know. But actually, take a snapshot in David's life, and it wasn't wonderful. He was the kid who was been thrown out into the fields, who didn't seem to have any destiny on his life. And he was out there looking after the sheep while all his brothers were doing the cool stuff at war and rocking around with the king. Not only that, he was getting attacked by wild animals. And then you go, well, okay, then the moment comes and Samuel calls him in and anoints him. Oh, it's all going to change now. No, it's not. He's back out there with the animals. Now, when it came to Goliath, he was able to say, hey, I've fought bears, I've fought lions, I've fought everything. This dog who's coming against the people of God, he's no problem. Now, that is someone who's cultivated an inner strength. He didn't come out and go, God's not with me because I've been attacked by a bear. You know, it's so hard for me. What he understood is that there was some reason that these momentary troubles that he was going through were achieving in him eternal glory. And the danger with this whole concept is that if you actually want to go for it, God is going to bring you momentary troubles. He's going to bring you people who kind of wind you up to see whether you will hang on to the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, or whether you'll just drop kick them into, you know, Jesus loves you. But is it going to be about me all the time, or is it going to be about someone else? And that is the new thinking that I believe God wants us to do. But we have ruts. This is real science, he says. all the real scientists look nervous at this point because they think, yeah, he says that every time, then he comes out with a load of guff. There was thinking that your brain, as in childhood, was very sort of plastic in sense that the pathways hadn't been hardwired quite into it yet. And therefore, the reason that seemingly that children were better at learning languages and they had more learning skills was that the brain was a more kind of flexible and plastic kind of thing. Well, that has been proved that actually it remains the same. Our ability to learn and do new things remains the same pretty much for our whole life. It's no longer set and become a bit like a dried up walnut. But some of us live like that. Oh, I couldn't possibly do that. You know, I wasn't given that opportunity. So how many of you know how to swim? How many of you don't know how to swim? Okay. So it's not too late to learn how to swim. Joan has proved that because she decided she wanted to learn how to swim. So she went to some swimming lessons and she learned how to swim. How is the swimming going? Haven't been for a while. It doesn't matter. Tick the box. Yeah, you can swim. Now, you've either got to overcome fear of water or fear of wearing swimming costumes or fear of changing rooms that smell like coach loads of children or whatever it is that you're afraid of. But it's possible to learn something new. And so much of our thinking is we're trapped in our thinking. And so my challenge to us in November is to do something new. Now, it might be something small new, that you're going to drive a different way to work every day, or you're going to shop in a different supermarket. That might be not very efficient. You're going to buy a different takeaway. How many of you know when you order a takeaway, you're going to get a 16, 23, 47, and a 9, maybe? Yeah, exactly. Now, that's just efficient because you know what you like. Why don't you just randomly select numbers and see what comes up? Now, you might say this is, it's a bit flippant. But actually, it's shaking us out a little bit, because when you have done something the same way over and over again, you do have a rut formed in your mind. It's a synaptic pathway. It's a way that you will fall into doing something. You can have muscle memory for golfers, you know, so that the moment you go there, your body knows what it's doing. It doesn't have to think about it. And it just, like that. Martin knows that, you know, every time. Straight through. You know, away it goes. So to do something different, to change that mindset, you have to do something different and then do it again and then do it again and do it again. And slowly, and you have to kind of fill in that other rut whilst you create a new rut. And that's the problem, that to do that takes a little bit of effort and time and energy. It might be a new way of thinking, that you are not going to assume the worst. Now, to do this, you're going to have to hold on to God, because your natural self will say, there's no point, nothing changes, everything's the same, it's just getting worse. It's all right for them, it's never any good for me. Or you're going to have to hold on to God and say, God, I need your grace in this situation. I need you. And that's what he wants, because by doing that, by focusing on him, you're starting to be transformed. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The big first thing that you've got to change is the way that you think. How many of you have still got your watch set for an hour forward? You've checked, yeah. So the watch that you looked at every day was right, and now it's suddenly wrong. Now, you can keep looking at it and going, well, my watch says this, and my watch is right because I set it, but you'll be wrong. And some of us are doing that. This is the way, this is right, this is my way, this is what I believe, except that it's wrong. And we need to start thinking the thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God are higher than our thoughts. And they're different from our thoughts. And every single time we think we've got it right, there is a different perspective that God has got. But until we're ready to do something different and ready to do something new, he will have trouble moving us. And there are some people who just, they are so right that there's no humility. It's not saying, I look, you know, you might say pride is saying, I look fantastic up here. Oh, he's so full of pride. Or humility is saying, oh, I look horrible in these clothes. No, these don't really fit me. Neither of those things are right, okay? Humility is who you are in relation to who God is. So understanding who you are in relation to who God is, it doesn't matter. I am secure in what I'm wearing, and I'm not wearing it necessarily for your benefit. I mean, I do stuff for your benefit. I have a shave. I don't want to shave. I would much rather not shave. But I know that for some of you, it would traumatize you to have your church leader looking as scruffy as I look when I don't shave. Now, today when I put this on, I thought, maybe I could, I haven't got a collared shirt, which I normally wear. But that's all part of it. It's sort of, doing something new. But until you understand that you, compared to God, have got a lot of changing to do, you won't change. I'm all right. It's everyone else. So part of this Newvember is doing something new to kind of make us feel like, well, maybe we could do something new. Maybe we do need to change. Maybe there is another way of thinking about it. And what I would also like to do is for us to understand from other people why they do the things they do. So when you get in the car and you go to, if you go the same way every time, why do you go the same way every time? And if you don't, why don't you go the same way every time? So I know some people. If I say to Tanya, she said, "How do I get to this place?" Now for Tanya needs security in her life. Okay, that's just who she is. She doesn't just want it; she needs it. So we get the map up, we get Google Maps up, we get Street View up, we get the book, And then she says, "Where's that?" And I said, "Well, you go down this way and this way." So she wants the safest way to get there. I want the shortest way to get there. I want it to be efficient. So if someone else, but I'm not right and she's not wrong. It's just we're different. And until we start to see that there are differences, we won't change some of the things we do. Now, am I prepared to go a different way to make her feel more comfortable? Yeah, but we might be late, and this is the way I always go. So some of us would say, no, I'm driving the car. I'll do what I like. For some of us, are we prepared to be a passenger in the car and let someone else drive the car? Touching a few nerves there. Oh, God, I'll do anything for you. Yeah. How about you be a passenger in your own car? No, not that. I need to be in control. The reason we're stressed in an aeroplane is because we're not in control. What they should do to get rid of stress is just tell everyone that they're flying the plane. Put a little handle in the back like that. Yeah, foot brake. Yeah. We'd put up with a lot less room if we knew we had a plane foot brake there, Sit somewhere different, do something different, wear something different. You know what it is that's going in your head. Some of it might be going back to some things, might be. Now, the reason I'm doing it in November is because this is something that most people do in January. But let's get ahead of the game. You can do it now, and in 2 months, you're going to be rocking it. In January, you're just going to go, right, here it is. Maybe it's reading your Bible more. Maybe it's memorizing scripture. Maybe you've never memorized a scripture and you want to do something new, memorize that one. Zephaniah 3:17. In any translation you like. But yeah. That's my challenge to us. I suddenly realized 10 years away, I've tidied the house the way I like it. You can tell her, she knows that. I'm sleeping in the middle of the bed. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know why I thought this. I thought maybe I should start doing press-ups. Though I'm wearing away outwardly, I am wearing away outwardly. I thought, I can do press-ups. That was tough. I'm assuming I must be, fighting off something because I'm not usually that weak. But yeah, everyone else who's got a little bit more age is saying, that's just getting old, buddy. Yeah. No, demo. No, please. Please. That would just lead me to pride. You would be easy in the back seats, the cheap seats back there. So I started with 10, okay? And I just about managed 10. But I'm starting to build up, And then I started looking at, as I am, statistics of you know, the average of the population and where I fit in and how many I need to do. What I'm aiming for is to do as many press-ups as is my age. So I'm 46. So by the end of November, I should be able to do 46 press-ups. I will do 46 press-ups here in front of you, okay? We will have personal trainers and everyone else.
Physio?
Physio, yeah. Massage table out the back. To make sure they're proper and not just, you know, fudging it, you know, not big bend in my back, you know. What do you think? So, I'm going to pray. Maybe God's challenging you to do something new or get back something or say to him, how can I reflect the inner nature of who you are? And, yeah, just to do something a bit different. I think on the back of the news sheet, and you'll see why November has been given out. My quote is from Thomas Jefferson. If you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done. And that is the essence of it. We're all saying, God, change me, change me, change me, change me. But let that happen whilst I'm doing nothing different than I normally do. And somewhere, in some way, there's an exchange. We decide to do something new, something his way, and he replaces the old thinking with something of himself. And that's what I believe that the challenge is for a bit of November, okay? So, Father, I thank you that you are new. You are unique. You are infinitely creative. You have something amazing for each one of us to fulfill, and we can still fulfill it. Time has not gone. Lord, I thank you that it's of no relevance whether we think we've done all of that. You still have a way of turning us back into and creating in us the person that you want us to be, and at the same time transforming us into the essence and the identity and the very nature of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that that's what this world needs. It doesn't just need a load of Christians trying to be better. It needs building on the foundations of Christ that have been laid in our life, that we put brick by brick by brick, and we are transformed day by day into your likeness and reflecting your glory and starting to sound like you and speak like you and act like you and think like you. And Father, I just pray that this month you'd shake us up a little bit, that we'd do something different, we'd do something new, and we'd change the way we think about people, about situations, you'd put us in a new situation. For some of us, we're frightened about that. And Lord, you take away that fear. For some of us, we don't want to do that. But Lord, I just pray that we would take a hold of your hand. And maybe we'd take a hold of someone else's hand and say, why don't we do this together and encourage and support one another and cry out to God for help as we are transformed into his likeness. And Father, I just pray you give us your grace, the power to do what we're not able to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.